Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, just another day for the Lakers. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ra-ba-ba. That's the old circus music. I haven't tried it out in a while. Hey, there's the bearded woman. There's the old sword swallower. There he is, the tightrope artist, the lion tamer. They're back. All right, so we're inside the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. We'll do the golf hour number two. Mm-hmm. We're obviously up to our necks in Laker nonsense. What a day for the Lakers.
Was this on
a good one.
Was this on purpose, BT?
By whom?
By Magic Johnson.
No.
Was this on purpose by Magic Johnson sabotage the introduction of their new coach, Frank Vogel? Why not?
Because while it turned out to be serendipitous for all of our enjoyment and the media.
Serendipitous.
You gotta slip that word. That's what I'm saying.
Not for them.
I don't care about them. I care about us.
Good point.
Serendipitous for us. It was a great time. No, this was not planned. This was not Magic being, you know, his most deceitful self saying, how can I
I'll tell you why
I know for a fact it wasn't. But how can I be that, like, dastardly, devilish person and just take a match to the, oh, they're going to introduce Frank Vogel today. Let me call up my buddy Stephen A. on going first take. No. This was planned before the Lakers hired Frank Vogel. So, again, the timing, I use the word again, serendipitous, because Magic got to just take a torch to the franchise that embarrassed him, or at least people within the franchise that embarrassed him. And Rob Pelinka looks like an absolute clown today.
Yeah. What do you think happens long term? Do you think that Magic is because he's still involved with the Los Angeles Lakers. It's not like Magic Johnson, who surprisingly quit his job as VP of basketball operations, is just going to disappear from Lakerdom. Mm-hmm. He's still going to be around. He still has a friendship with Jeannie. They posted it very publicly on social media about a week and a half ago going to lunch. So the relationship is still intact with the ownership. Mm-hmm. But for him to come out and say what he said about Rob Pelinka, basically call him a backstabber there's much more to that, and we'll get to it, but basically call him a backstabber. There's only one reason that he would do that, because he's trying to undermine him, mm-hmm. right? You don't say that just to get the record straight. You mm-hmm. say that because you don't feel good about Rob Pelinka sitting in this role. And
to be clear, Stephen A. was the one who actually used the word backstabber. Magic certainly didn't refute that at all. He basically continued Stephen's sentence and made it seem as if he co-signed it.
We thought it was that anyway.
Oh, there's no question.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. Right? It's not like Magic was defending Rob.
No, he was
absolutely saying, Stephen, you know the deal.
Going back to the emails that Magic was supposedly blind CC'd on with
that he did clarify.
Yeah,
that surprised me because he said he never saw them today.
Yeah,
like on the show today, he said he never saw the emails.
I thought you think that's true.
I'm gonna believe him because I mean, what, you know, I don't know that Magic is. I'm not saying everything he says is, you know, completely upfront. It's gonna benefit Magic Johnson at the end of the day, and it should because he's Magic Johnson.
Of course,
but the way the story was reported initially. I was a little surprised when I was watching that live when Magic said he had not actually seen.
Yeah, because the way emails. That it was reported that what BT's talking about is that Magic saw these emails, got pissed off, and called a press conference and said, I'm quitting.
Which is why we thought, not that we actually like this, but because of the hasty nature of the press conference, as Tiki said, you know, I didn't understand why there was no time to alert Jeannie. It didn't make any sense.
Or Magic.
Unless you were sitting at your laptop.
Exactly.
Or your phone.
Or LeBron.
And
or
you
whoever.
See the emails. Yes. And you're like, screw them. Oh, wait. Magic. Oh, I don't work hard. I'm not engaged. You know what? That's it. Let's go. Ding, ding. I text three people. Get your microphones. Get your cameras. It's time for a Magic Johnson press conference. What a crazy day. What would I do if I'm the Lakers?
Yes.
I'll tell you what I would do right now. I would fire Rob Pelinka today.
Wow.
Now, what I would have done is fire Rob Pelinka earlier.
After Magic quit and then explained himself. Because you know he talked about this with Jeannie Buss when he went to lunch or whatever, dinner, whatever it is that picture was. They took.
I think it was dinner.
It was out there.
He can't be there. He is not. To win in the NBA, you've got to have relationships. Mm-hmm. And relationships are built on trust.
Yeah.
And right now, the person who is probably least trustworthy in the NBA with any sort of hammer or juice card is Rob Pelinka.
Yeah.
So if you're a free agent, you trusted him? Nope. And you have to save what remains of LeBron's Lakers career. I would fire Rob Pelinka.
That's interesting.
I would fire him.
Because then they really start over because they didn't hire someone to fill Magic's job. It feels so late. I mean, the draft is a month away. I mean, yeah. I think exactly. Yes, a month away from today.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA draft is. You can't fire a GM without having a VP of basketball operations as well. I mean, it's almost like they're stuck.
You know why you
with
can
Rob Pelinka right now?
But I don't think
so. Who fills that role?
But I'll
then?
Tell you why. This isn't the NFL draft, Teak, where you've got to have a big board where there's
sure,
600
you have a board of five
players
guys.
On it.
You have, or you
what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know where you're picking.
Yeah.
You know, you're picking right after the Knicks at 4. You can trade that, or you could. You know you're not getting Zion because he's going 1. You know John Morant's going 2. You're not getting him to the Pelicans. You would imagine Barrett's going 3 to the Knicks. Who else do you like?
Yeah.
Find one of 5 or 6 guys or trade the pick. I it's not even about like the conventional flow of and transfer of information and acting on draft day. It is about ending. It is about ending the perception that the Lakers are. It's even worse than being clueless. It's darkness. Mm. And for a while, the Knicks had to get out of this cave. And when you're deep in that cave, people don't like you and people don't trust you. People don't go and play for you.
Yeah, I agree with you, BT.
It's
hard to see Rob Pelinka there for the long term, even if he is, as he presents himself, making it seem like he's going to be there for the long time. Because he also spoke after.
I did most of the speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, good job by the LA media, by the way.
I agree.
Which was also the national media, but they hit him with some good ones.
Yeah, you're right. And look, Rob, who knows? Do we think he's in over his head? Probably. I mean, he's an agent. He wasn't a GM. It's a different way of going about things. But there's also another level to this, BT, that we can dig it further into. I'm not sure that this narrative that we keep throwing out there about LeBron James, you got to salvage these last couple of years of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. But why? Right? Is that going to make you feel better if you're a Lakers fan? Because they're not going to win a championship next year, right?
Yeah, but you can't operate under that.
I understand that
mindset.
I understand that. Okay. They've already said that they're not going to trade LeBron. But I look at the Lakers, and if I'm all of this stuff that we've been talking about, this has been going on for about 2 months now,
uh-huh.
Maybe even longer.
Oh, more than that.
Longer.
I'm talking about the
screwed upness of the front office. Forget the on-court stuff that we talked about all season long, but I'm just talking about the dysfunction of this front office.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for a long time. Magic quits. You pretend, and you're probably right, that Rob Pelinka is going to be short for his position as a general manager.
That's just what I would do.
I agree.
I'm not saying that they're about to do
agreed,
that. I would do that.
I would as well.
I really would.
You start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like you also have to start fresh with this roster and this experiment, whatever experiment it was with LeBron James, just isn't
yes.
right?
Because yes.
to me, it doesn't feel right.
Yes.
Right? If I'm the Lakers and I want to freshen whatever, get rid of everything.
Yes.
You got to start different than LeBron.
I got to play
because that career intersection, just it doesn't match at all.
No, it's two different avenues.
Where the Lakers are.
You know what? I know that they're going to try to keep going back to the Anthony Davis well, and they're going to try to engage the Pelicans, mm-hmm. and we know what the ownership for the Pelicans said. What's her? Why am I forgetting her first name? She said last week, reportedly.
Gail Benson.
Thanks, Steve. Yep. Not over my dead body. I would not do that. Maybe cooler heads prevail. I think they have a good coach. Mm-hmm. I think they have a very good GM.
Yep,
maybe that actually happens. But you know what they really should do? If you really want to maximize LeBron, and that has to still, although I would fire Rob Pelinka, I would trade LeBron James. Why don't you just disband the entire franchise? I'm into radical solutions today.
If you're able to move LeBron, though, you can get someone who's really young
100%.
And exciting, and man, we can build around this
guy.
Which
is why you do it.
I agree.
Won't, but that's why they should,
yeah.
Or at least kick the tires on that. But the name, the player for them is not Anthony Davis. The player for them is Bradley Beal. Mm. What they need to do is get with the Wizards and say, listen, you're paying John Wall $40 million, and the contract hasn't started yet, and he just ruptured his Achilles, and his game is based on speed. So do you want to keep Bradley Beal, who's making decent money, or do you want to completely start over, give yourself some sort of out Not that there's a fallout because that contract is punitive when you brought, even if he was healthy, $40 million for John Wall is probably not the way to go.
I think you're right.
So you go for Bradley Beal, who was a great shooter and who plays well off the ball, and LeBron. Let LeBron just pound it. Oh, double team. Boom. There's Bradley Beal. 23-footer. Good. So that's the plan. That's what they should do.
Yeah, but how do you get excited about that if you're a Laker?
I'll tell you what. I think Brett. No, but I can't. A Laker fan?
Yes.
No, because Laker fans are living in fantasy land. They're in la-la. Not the good ones, but most Laker fans, at least the semi-superficial ones, are the ones who, you know, expect Kareem and Magic and all these, and Kobe to walk back. You know, there are other names in the NBA and other ways to win. And I think you have to look at LeBron's history, and, you know, they did the complete antithesis. Look at how LeBron won. Every time that he won, look at how he won. He had the basketball. He has guys who could shoot.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have the basketball, and he doesn't have guys who can shoot. It's a complete opposite.
I agree.
So just subscribe to that instead of Mo Williams. You get somebody like Mo Williams.
Yeah, but I just feel like you're...
And all the replication of all the other names. You know the names.
Yeah, there's a lot that needs to be done.
They're a disaster.
And you know what's frustrating is, as a Lakers fan? And I'm not, but I'm trying to put myself in a Lakers fan's mentality right now. Mm-hmm. No matter what you do, it's not going to work. Right.
Why though? Why do you say that?
In the short term, it's not going to work. It's not. You're not going to either win a championship, because there's only a couple of outcomes, right? You're either going to win a championship or you're going to start building something that feels phenomenal, right? So they're not winning a championship.
No.
Right.
No.
And if you keep LeBron and do what you're subscribing, which I think is interesting, and it could win them some games. But again, they're not winning a championship, but it also sets them back at least 2 years before they can actually start feeling good about their future.
But that's why you can, it's a fair retort. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you say is illogical. For LeBron and the finite window that he has that remains, it's either a championship or it should be a complete reboot.
Yeah.
Reboot. Because in the middle is not the reward that you were chasing.
They are stuck squarely in the middle.
I get it. But I do believe that there's a way to maybe placate both ends. I want to lay it on you coming up next here. 1-855-212-4227. Listen, I don't know Rob Pelinka. You know, this is not an axe to grind. Rob Pelinka should not be running the Lakers. Rob Pelinka should be fired. Rob Pelinka is not trustworthy right now, and it's a league about relationships, and right now, how do you trust him? So, if you're Jeannie Buss, would you fire him? Would you make him the backbone of the franchise, which he currently is for some strange reason? What would you do? And I'll lay my plan on Tiki about something in the middle that could satisfy everything and maybe be the answer for the Lakers. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, back on a Monday. And the Lakers giving us a lot to talk about and dissect. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. And we will get calls this segment. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15%. Or more on car insurance. So we'll do the PGA Championship. I mean, that may have been the toughest conditions for any golf major ever.
Yeah, a lot of those guys were scuffling.
I mean, there were 30 mile per hour gusts.
There was an 84? Wasn't there 84 one of the rounds? I was just looking at a couple of guys that
made
the
cut. You mean someone who made the cut? Shot an 84?
Someone who made the cut.
I didn't see that.
And then the third round,
oof,
shot an 84. I was looking at that like, wow. I think it was like plus 12 or 13. Maybe it was an 80.
Yeah, then it would have been 82.
82, 83.
Okay.
Oh, whatever it was. I was shocked.
That's not good.
It wasn't good at all.
What usually isn't good either is when you get four straight bogeys on the back nine of a Sunday championship and you actually somehow still hoist the trophy. Let that resonate for a sec, because we'll pick this back up next hour. Four straight bogeys, and the guy won on the back nine on Sunday. So, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. By the way, I want to make sure I was right with this, and I knew that I was, but I just texted my guy Stephen A. Boom. Definitely was booked days before Vogel was hired. So we're all on the same page. I'm not feeding you erroneous information with that.
Beam. Shot an 82.
Oh, Rich Beam's horrendous. Rich Beam won the PGA, which is the only reason. I mean, don't get me sidetracked here.
I just saw it. I
did see a high number. It's funny. You know, I said I didn't see that, and I actually Did see that. I saw Rich Beam was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Rich Beam's usually in the 80s on a Sunday.
He shot
82, if he's
but
around.
On Sunday, he shot 69.
Oh, 69?
On Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, Saturday he shot 82. Sunday he shot 69.
I feel like every time I see a Rich Beam score, it's not a good one.
No, it wasn't. Not but it just one. Caught my eye. I was like, 82?
He's what? Like half analyst. He's half exempt, you know, whatever, for winning back in the day.
It's all good.
It is all good. If you live in Rich Beam's life, it ain't too bad. 855-212-4227. I do have my plan for the Lakers that I'll give you in a minute that I think might be able to satisfy every angle about at least chasing a championship, remaining viable in the future, and certainly not placating, but satisfying the needs of everybody to be certainly viable now. I think I have something good for you. But we got to play two things for you. Got to play Magic. This was on First Take today, Magic. And then, you know what? Roll right into it. I don't even need to ramble. First Magic, and then Rob Pelinka responding directly to Magic's comments.
When we sat down and negotiated, I told her, I said, listen, I can't give up all my businesses. I make more money doing that than becoming the president of the Lakers. So you know that I'm going to be in and out. Is that okay with you? She said yes. Things got going in the right direction. And then I start hearing, you know, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me, Rob was saying things, Rob Pelinka, and I didn't like those things being said behind my back, that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on.
It's saddening and disheartening to think he believes things are a misperception. I think all of us in life probably have been through things where maybe there's third-party whispers or he said, she said things that aren't true. And then I have talked to him several times since he decided to step away. We've had many joy-filled conversations. In fact, 2 days ago, talking about the great future that this franchise has. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening. But I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true. I stand beside him. I stand with him as a colleague, as a partner. I've always supported everything he's done and will continue to. And, you know, I think that's the best way to address that.
Okay, so the first part, Magic, earlier on First Take on ESPN. Rob Pelinka, I was watching the press. You were watching it outside.
Yeah.
I had it on my laptop on Periscope, and the comments that were rolling in during it in real time was worth the price of admission. I got to say, though, the first thing that Magic said right there, we are not doing our jobs if we just gloss over. I'm going to use this word, and I believe it applies, the incompetence by Jeannie Buss.
I don't disagree.
The first mistake that she made is she allowed Magic Johnson to work half the time.
I agree. I mean,
how does that work?
Look, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
I mean, if you want to be an advisor, that'll work.
Correct.
You want to be on the board of directors.
Yeah.
That will work.
Yep.
You can parachute in and be a strategic partner, so to speak. You put that word in quotes, strategic. But if you want to be a working partner, right, an executive level type partner, you can't halftime it, right? You can't. There's too many things that get lost in the shuffle. So, yeah, I agree with you, BT. A lot of this is on Jeannie Buss. But also, not just the fact that she allowed Magic to be part-time, but she didn't communicate it to everyone else so that the perception around the office, obviously, was that Magic wasn't working hard enough, when in actuality, that was just the agreement that he had.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's doubly her fault that she didn't clarify, catch it. First of all, Magic, that's not going to work. And then clarify to everybody else, this is what Magic's deal is.
You know, I wonder how our next negotiations will go here for our show. If we say, you know what, we're not going to watch basketball. We'll watch a little bit of golf. You know, we'll watch the Masters. We might even watch a few holes of the U.S. Open. Watch an occasional Monday Night Football.
Samter might like the golf omission part.
Samter might like that entire model. I don't have to watch anything. You just watch Game of Thrones and Soprano reruns all day, right? He's like, yeah, they'd rather do that. And, you know, we want multi-years, we want big money, but you know, really, we're not going to work that hard.
Yeah, right.
You know, we'll show up when we show up, and if it works out, it works out.
Yeah, maybe every Thursday I'm going to skip the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah, that'll be good like that.
Leave early, play a little Twilight, get a little back nine. What are you kidding me? Yeah. Jobs of consequence, jobs of pressure, jobs of not saying what we do is similar to what a surgeon does or somebody that actually saves people, but in terms of our medium, it's relatively important.
Agreed.
You've got to work hard. There are no shortcuts, what you and I do, and you cannot be a shortcut GM and or higher than that, as Magic Johnson was, and she allowed it. That's her fault. All right, here's the plan. And then we'll get these calls. You keep LeBron. Even though I would actually trade him,
okay.
I'm giving them a plan that I think that they could actually that they would do and that they could actually have come to fruition.
Yeah, let me pause real quick.
Yes.
Do you think that there is a – how big is the market for LeBron out there?
It's very small.
Right?
Yes.
I think you're right.
Very small.
All right, so go ahead.
Keep LeBron. You draft. You're going to love this part. You know who I'm taking it for?
Who?
Your guy. Taking DeAndre Hunter.
Hunter.
I'm getting a franchise defensive future Scottie Pippen stud, all right, who can shoot, by the way.
Yep.
And once
and
he gets –
will only get better as a scorer.
No doubt about it. We know their style, kind of take the air out of the ball a little bit, although they're certainly better. And that wasn't Virginia like 3 years ago.
Right.
But there's a structure to their offensive. You know, that
look, they had to score in the NCAA championship. They scored.
There's no doubt about it. He will enjoy more freelance success, and his skill set will flourish. I really like DeAndre Hunter. Keep LeBron, you draft Hunter, and then you call up the Wizards. You say, all right, I'm going to help save you because you're going nowhere if I don't. And I'm going to put the three names on the table. Ball, I'm going to put Ingram, and I'm going to put Kuzma. Take two of them. You're not getting my fourth pick because Bradley Beal's not Anthony Davis.
You're right.
Take two of those names, and whomever you agree upon, then we have a deal. And if you don't, click. And if it works, the Lakers would have LeBron at the end of his prime, Bradley Beal just entering the early part of his prime, and DeAndre Hunter represents the future.
Yeah.
There you go. And the other guy that they didn't take, whether it's Ingram, Ball, or Kuzma, is still on the roster.
Yeah, you're right. And I like
you get
that.
A little bit of everything.
I like that because DeAndre Hunter, and I'm biased, obviously, but DeAndre Hunter could be an impact defensive player immediately.
100%.
And so you don't need him to necessarily score all the time because you still got Beal, and obviously LeBron is there, but he becomes impactful, not dissimilar to Malcolm Brogdon for the Milwaukee Bucks. Right?
Yeah, you see a difference when he's on the court.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, he does so much.
Not that he shuts down Kawhi, but he makes it very difficult for Kawhi Leonard. And by the way, that was a great game last night.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks and the Raptors going into double overtime.
How about that lefty dunk? And he's hurt.
Of course.
I mean, he took off a good six, 7 feet, maybe more.
I feel excited for Toronto and the North that they're still in it. But if he's banged up in any capacity,
it's a wrap at that point.
I agree.
I hear you. Musa is up in the Bronx, and I don't know if Musa is watching the same sport that we're watching, but he wants to know why are we so down on the Lakers. Musa, do you watch basketball? What's going on, buddy? How are you today?
It's good to talk to you guys. I'm good. I watch you guys every day. I love the show. I'm a little disappointed in you, man. I'm not going to defend the Lakers. The organization is going through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear the way you're talking about LeBron, I don't know what to say.
What did we say?
As if like he's at the final, like at the end of his prime.
He is.
I see no reason for you to say that. I think he's still in his prime. I think I understand. You know, he's 33, but the way he's playing is still great.
No, look, Musa, I think you're right. He did play great last year. But when we think about LeBron, we think about try to win a championship. Be right up there with KD and whoever else, the Warriors, et cetera. That's not happening for him in Los Angeles. It's just not. And so he may be great, but his impact that we've seen for the last almost decade is just not the same with the Lakers as it was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, even with the Miami Heat. So it's just a different LeBron that we're looking at. So we're not saying he's done.
No.
We're just saying that he's like the LeBron we want to see is not going to be available with the talent that's around him at the Lakers and really the dysfunction that goes all the way through the Lakers organization.
And Musa, just as I veer into a different direction, a lot of my opinions on LeBron entering however you want to frame it, and I'll stand by that, entering the final phases of his prime, if you're 25 years old, you know, you pull the groin, you don't miss 30 games. That's part of the natural physical attrition of LeBron. So when I say what I say, I'm not discounting the production, the PER, the stats, near tripled up. LeBron James is still really good. But when you get hurt, you heal slower. And that's a big part of my critique.
Yeah,
or at least observation.
Yeah,
not even a critique.
He played 50 games this year.
It's an observation.
It's
not like, I'm going down and dirty and low on LeBron. He got hurt. He healed very slowly. That's a problem. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. We'll get to the golf a little later, next hour. Inbounds, out of bounds, after Rax update. What's up, Ak? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. What could be bad on an 80-degree day in New York?
It's a good-looking shirt on you.
Thank you.
It's not too tight like some of the other ones you wear. You know?
What, are you saying the buttons are
No, it looks good. It's a nice quality shirt. I bet you that's pretty new, too, right?
No, I've had it
about
a year or two.
A year or two.
You know, but it's been in the closet all winter.
Well, see, you should wear it more often.
Right? It does look good on him.
Does.
Tries to squeeze himself into the button down. That's a good look for you, Ack. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Here he is.
All right, guys, the Warriors are one win away from their fifth consecutive trip to the NBA Finals, and we'll try to close it out tonight in Portland. They lead the Blazers 3-0. Head coach Steve Kerr said one big key will try to bottle up the dynamic duo of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We are back on a obviously a busy Monday. Lots to get into. Lakers universe is spinning and tilting in a very odd direction. Has been for a while. We'll get to the PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka, and all that stuff. Inbounds, Out of Bounds is on deck. But first up, time to Ask the Pros, where we give you a chance to ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So here's how you do it. Just tweet us, Twitter handle at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros, and make sure you stick around, listen later on. We could answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, so here's the poll question. And welcome back to the show, Tiki and Tierney. The poll, based on all the negative noise around the Lakers, if you were in charge of the franchise, what would you do? Fire Rob Pelinka, one option. That's what I clicked on. The second option, sit tight, wait it out. 15% of you do that, far more patient than me. 17% still evaluating, which is an odd one for me. 68%, by the way, say fire Rob Pelinka, but... See, the still of that, if you say, I'm not going to fire Rob, I would disagree fundamentally, and that's fine. But somebody who votes still evaluating, to me, that is a faulty approach, because you better get this evaluation done before free agency.
I agree, because guys are going to have to know what the deal is when they sign on somewhere.
And you're laying the foundation now.
I agree.
Let's not think we wake up on July 1st, even though they're going to move it up. From midnight to, I think, 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., calls don't start happening.
Let me speculate something real quick.
Yeah.
Now, we know that Rob Pelinka is formally an agent, and he's an agent of Kobe Bryant. We've heard a little bit from Kobe doing like post-game analysis stuff and things of that nature, but he's mostly been quiet regarding the fortunes of his former team.
Mm-hmm.
You think there's any chance that Kobe will work either in front of or behind the scenes with free agency for the Lakers? You think that's a possibility? Because that would be one reason to hang on to Rob Pelinka. If he's, you know what I mean? If he's his proxy to some of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come to dinner with the GM of the LA Lakers, Rob Pelinka. And Kobe's going to be there too.
Interesting.
That might have some value. To keep Rob around. I mean, I just thought about that as you were just thinking about it, because you don't hear Kobe's name that much anymore.
No. And that's why Rob Pelinka has the job, and that's a pretty good chance that's why Rob Pelinka still has a job, because of Kobe.
Mm.
How would I answer that? Let me see. I'm going to answer it.
You think he should, though? You think Kobe should?
Here's the thing. Kobe, and you know this, is an assassin. And I don't believe that Kobe's in the business of helping LeBron make LeBron's L.A. tenure easier. Because in a way, and even though it shouldn't, but in a very superficial way, if LeBron ever wins a championship, and I'm on the record going back 5 months ago, I do not think he will. But if he does win a championship, you know, Kobe gets marginalized. Now it's LeBron. I believe that
highly competitive people process that. But can't Kobe then say... Well, I helped LeBron do that.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
he won one.
The glory's not as strong as LeBron will receive on the court.
But he loves the Lakers, man.
The scenes.
Kobe's, I mean, he's got it.
I know. And he also loves.
It's just an interesting gut.
I would think. I mean,
I would think so as well.
So.
I'd be like if Lep was the GM. You know what I mean?
If Lep was the GM, we'd have jobs.
That's exactly.
We'd have jobs for life.
Hey, Lep, come be the GM at
take the team over,
CBS
Lep.
Sports Radio.
Yeah, I'll be the GM. I'll coach. You know, what are you going to do? Either work at the ticket office for us?
I'll do everything else. more you can do.
That's true. That is true. Let's get the inbounds out of bounds. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Dial it up, Monday edition. The Jets made some noise last week. Not exactly good noise, seeming a little all over the map. They fired GM Mike Maccagnan, promoted Adam Gase to interim GM, despite Maccagnan, you know, running the draft and spending a lot of money in free agency. So we talked about that. Now the Jets have interviewed at least six candidates so far, with four others turning down interviews, many believed to be minority candidates, based on the thought that the Jets already have their guy. And you and I have talked about this when it comes up. If I'm a minority candidate, you're going to use me just to satisfy the quota, I'm going to tell you to take a hike. Now Pro Football Talk is reporting that the Jets may make a run at Peyton Manning. You can't make this up. Especially considering his tight relationship with Gase, going back to their days in Denver. Inbounds, out of bounds. Despite having no experience as a GM, Peyton would be a great fit as a GM with the Jets.
This is a tough one. I think I'm going to say out of bounds, because I want to see Peyton in a front office position. And I think that's where, that's what he's keeping his options open for. It's why when he's asked to do Monday Night Football in the booth, he says no, and some other things he said no to. But I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, only because, now, Peyton is loved, but New Yorkers are very cynical. And while he does get that benefit of the doubt because he has such goodwill from being Peyton Manning, he doesn't have absolution forever, you know, into perpetuity.
Yeah.
And so eventually it would turn on him. That's from the, you know, perceptual standpoint. From a practical standpoint, he and his wife Ashley have young kids. I believe they're 8 years old, twins. I don't know if the grind of being a GM in New York, maybe if he was in like Memphis or Nashville with the Tennessee Titans, it'd be different. But in New York, I'm not sure that's the right personal step for Peyton Manning. So I'm going to say out of bounds, even though I think he'd be good at it.
Okay. Interesting thought. And, you know, for those who might not know, Tiki went to school with Peyton's wife, so he knows her well. College.
Yeah.
And I'm going to certainly, when you say that, I'm going to take your word for it. You would know, I wouldn't know, in terms of personality and all that stuff, if it's a good fit. In terms of the grind, though, the one thing we have to be clear about, you know, you're able to circumvent that if you have enough money. You could literally helicopter into the facility.
Great point.
I mean, you really can.
It's easy.
Helicopter on game day, and he's got money popping out of every cushion and every couch and every home that he owns.
I think I just read his net worth. I think he's like 210.
It's got to be more than that with the Papa John, all the pizza stuff and all the commercials.
Yeah, I think he made about 200 something million
as a player.
Uh-huh. But obviously, there was some taxes and spending.
Sure.
Right? And then with the Papa John's, which I think he divested himself of, but he does also have the
Nationwide
Budweiser.
What about Nationwide?
The Nationwide deal.
The guy's got everything. He's got to have more than $200 million. But the point being, he's well off, all right?
Yeah.
Now,
what do we do? We win the lottery.
He's doing okay.
Wednesday, by the way. Make sure you play Powerball.
We always do.
Always.
We always do. And we always lose, like everybody else. if I could get him in the building with Sam Darnold, it's a home run. I mean, just the, even if it's twice a week, if he crosses paths with him in the hallway, that's good. Free agency's over. The draft is over. So the real grinding part of the GM part is over.
For his first year.
For his first year. So he can kind of ease into the job.
That's interesting.
And he's got a great rapport with Gase. And Gase does not seem like the kind of guy who is easy to have a great rapport with. I'm okay with it. I'd say in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. So after firing Tom Thibodeau midway through the season, Timberwolves appear to have their guy, Ryan Saunders, who served as the interim coach after Thibs was removed. 33 years old. He's a pup.
Yeah, he is
the son of the former GM and the coach, who we love, the executive Flip Saunders, who, of course, passed away. In 42 games, Saunders, 17-25, just about 41% winning percentage at the helm. After the team started 19-21, so the winning percentage actually went down. You know, just for the sake of being accurate, present you with everything here. They lost more with Ryan on the bench than with Phipps. So, in or out, the T-Wolves are making a mistake going with such a young, unproven commodity to lead stars like Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins. In or out.
I'm going to say out of bounds here, BT. I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves still have so much building to do roster-wise, and I think they're the 11th pick this year, so I mean, who knows who they're going to get? But it's likely not to be an immediate impact type player. So they need a coach who's going to build culture, and I think they obviously like Ryan Saunders. So could he be? Is he maybe short term? Yes. And if you're going to go short term, you might as well go with someone who's at least feel good in the organization and in the community of fans, because obviously Ryan Saunders' father.
Yeah, from a sentimental point of view, I love it. Mm-hmm. But applying this to their situation, I think it's a mistake. So my answer is inbounds here, and I'll tell you why. And I'll just relate it to everybody who's a parent out there. I mean, if you have a 17 or 18-year-old son or daughter, and they're getting ready to go off to college, and you've been very loose enforcing rules and really let them do whatever they want, don't be surprised if midway through their freshman year, you either get a call from the dean of discipline, or God forbid, they get arrested, or something happens bad.
Yeah,
you know, this starts early. The formative stage, the influential, impressionable part of their life is when they're 3, 4, 5, 6. You got to lay the foundation, right? So I say this because the impressionable formative years of their star players are slowly ticking away, and they're not there yet. But once you get, like, Westbrook, who's changing Westbrook at the age of 30?
Yeah, no, sure. But, I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns is 22 years old.
But he's got a couple of years in the game. I'm not saying he's old, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, there's a certain looseness, maybe, to the way that – whatever. You've got to get a more authoritative voice and somebody that's got juice. And I don't care if he's the most brilliant tactician in the world. He might be Ryan Saunders. He's 33. And usually I'm not age discriminant here. Mm-hmm. But for this situation – I don't like it. It's too young. You need a sage voice.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Teek, over the weekend. Now, the Cubs threatened to protest their loss, like that ever works in baseball, to the Nationals. They claimed Washington reliever Sean Doolittle, who's a lefty with good stuff.
Wahoo-wah.
That's right. Does a little toe tap, and it's an illegal move. Now, according to Rule 5.07 Section A, and of course we all know this by memory, a pitcher may not take a second step toward home plate with either foot. And Cubs reliever Carl Edwards was told to change his delivery in spring after he put his foot down for a full second before delivering. Matt had explained why he was so upset.
There's no judgment. If he taps the ground, it's an illegal pitch, period. There's nothing to judge. And I said, if you guys don't clean it up, I want them to protest the game. I have no qualms against Doolittle. He's great. But they took it away from our guy. So for me to sit in the dugout and permit that to happen while they stripped us of that ability earlier this year with Carl, how can I do that? You can't do that. I got to say something.
All right, pretty interesting there. Doolittle responded tweeting, quote, so much of pitching is disruptive timing and disrupting timing. As long as with the strike zone's the size of a cocktail napkin, funny description, and accurate, pitchers should be allowed to have a hesitation in their delivery. All right, in or out, pitchers should be allowed to disrupt the timing of a batter with a toe tap or another hesitation in their delivery.
I'm going
to
say inbounds, but not the hesitation that Carl Edwards Jr. employed. I don't know if anybody ever saw his videos. Sam, or you should tweet this out, because Carl Edwards Jr. literally puts his foot down and then picks it up and then starts again. Sean Doolittle kind of is like momentum. Like, his foot comes down towards the ground, but then he picks it back up to gain momentum, and then he comes towards home plate. Let's also not forget that Sean Doolittle is 32 years old. He's been doing this for a while in Major League Baseball. Had a great season last year for the Nationals.
Oh, he's good.
1.60 ERA, 25 saves. He's got a career ERA of 2.76.
You know? He's nasty.
He's a good pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And this hasn't been an issue. This hasn't been an issue today.
They let him get away with it. Yeah, so
exactly.
Why stop it now?
Exactly. Yeah, why stop it now? You know what I mean? Okay. I mean, it probably ends his career if you make him change how he delivers. He's got like a little tiny toe touch. Carl Edwards was very – it's very different. You have to see the difference.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say inbounds. Pitchers should be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. He's still a little bit too young to really understand the art of deception. My son, he's 4.
Yeah.
But I was explaining the changeup. And I was explaining – you know, like a lot of kids, when they learn to throw a changeup, and they're just start because you want to throw a changeup rather than curveball, so there's no torque, right? It's like they have this really vicious windup, and then as they get to the end, they like stop, and they just kind of and there's no deception.
Yeah.
Whereas the real thing, you basically let the ball slide out of your hands with the same arm action.
Yeah.
All right. It's similar to the Bugs Bunny cartoon, where there's like all these wacky contortions and there's a lot of toe tapping. But you know, I say inbounds because every other sport you can deceive. If I'm on first base and I give a little fake like I'm stealing, I'm trying to deceive the pitcher.
That's right.
If it's a lefty, he could see me. Maybe I get him to balk.
That's right.
If I'm an outfielder and then, you know, I pump fake a throw or whatever, or an infielder, I'm trying to get a runner to bite. If I'm a receiver in the NFL and I go this way, I got a free, then I go that way.
Yeah.
I'm Steph Curry, pump fake, you fly by, bang. So what's the difference?
I agree.
What is the difference? Let them do whatever they want.
It's not cheating. It's a weird rule. It's not really.
I did not even really know that rule. It's an odd one.
I'd never heard it until you just read it.
All right. Let them cheat. Let them get away with it, basically.
Not cheating. You're not trying.
That's true. But it is very random to do this at age. What would you say, Sean? 32?
32.
Yeah.
Been around for like 8 years.
He came up when I worked in San Francisco with the A's. That's a lot of 2011. It's a long time ago. Brooks Koepka, he hung on. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.